What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode. I appreciate you guys for tuning in, wherever you may be, for taking time out your day to listen to what your girl got to say. So today is September 8th, 2025, and today marks 7 years since I got baptized on Eglin Air Force Base in Florida, Fort Walton Beach. And it's crazy because time flies, honestly. I'm like, wow, it has been 7 years. And the thing about me getting baptized was the journey that I had to take to even get baptized. And I was writing in my journal today, and I wanted to share with you guys what I wrote in my journal and kind of expound upon that, because I started writing things down, and then there's like another message that I want to share with you guys on this episode. So I'm gonna be rambling, but y'all can just follow along. So let me share with you guys what I wrote in my journal today. It has been 7 years since I was baptized on Eglin Air Force Base. 7 years since I decided to take my walk more serious. It's also a reminder that it wasn't an easy road. The rejection I had faced before getting baptized, but the desperation I had for the Messiah kept me searching. All I needed to do was touch the hem of his garment, and I knew that everything would be fine from there. And though the journey hasn't been easy, it has been worth it. And I'm glad I didn't allow people to prevent me from building a true relationship. I know today I'm a transformed person, and I believe that Yahusha focuses on the details rather than the outcome. So that was like the first part that I wrote in my journal. I have a lot more to read. But one thing that a lot of people don't know about me, I've said this before on my page, on my social media, but one thing that people don't know about me is that on my journey to getting baptized, a few months before I actually got baptized, I tried to get baptized, but I was rejected by a pastor who wouldn't baptize me. And I want that to marinate for a second. I remember vividly getting, okay, so let me give y'all some context, right? I'm gonna set y'all up. Let me give y'all some context. I don't remember when, but I remember it was the year 2018. And it was the beginning of the year because I got baptized, you know, like around September time. So a couple months prior to that, I had been honoring the Sabbath, because one of the commandments is, you know, you shall, you know, honor the Sabbath and, you know, make it holy. So me, what I was doing was every Saturday, I would literally carve out my entire Saturday, and I would read the Bible, like the entire day. I would read the Bible, turn on worship music. I would write in my journal. And I'm doing all this while fasting. So the only thing that I'm doing is drinking water all day. And I mean, from like 8 o'clock in the morning to probably like 6 p.m. at night. Sometimes it was like a full 12 hours. I was doing that for a couple months straight before I even went to go get baptized. And I was doing that. And I was also attending a local church in the area, but I was attending the Bible study. Now, I didn't go to church on Sundays because, first off, I'm spending my entire Saturday in-house. So I'm not cleaning, I'm not cooking, I'm not going out running errands, doing what I need to do on the weekends. I'm spending my entire Saturday, you know, dedicating it back to God, dedicating it back to Yah. So on Sundays, I will use Sundays as my day to go out and do what I need to do. So that's why I wasn't going on Sundays. And on top of that, when I first came into this journey, like, it's not that I thought that Sundays were like the devil's day or anything. I was just honoring the Sabbath. Like, my Sundays became my Saturdays, essentially, if that makes sense. So it's just like, okay, if I'm doing this on Saturday already, why do I have to do it on Sunday? So that's why I wasn't going to church on Sunday. But I was going to Bible study, and then I was honoring the Sabbath. And I was doing this for a couple months straight. I didn't advertise this. I didn't tell people at the church that I was going to that I was doing this. but I was doing this on my own time. And that was a period where I got really close to Yah, and it kind of, well, not kind of, it helped me learn to hear his voice more. Because when you're fasting and you're praying and you're denying your flesh and you're not like feeding your body, like your body is telling you that it's hungry, but you're not giving your body what your body wants. You're denying your flesh. You're able to hear what Yah is trying to tell you because you're not distracted by other things. In the Bible, I forget where it says in scripture specifically, so I'm paraphrasing, but it says how like we're not to live by bread alone. I think that's what that says. Excuse me if that's not what that says, but we're not to live by like bread alone. Basically, we're not to live by like food alone. The word is our daily bread. And that is so true because y'all, it got to the point where I was fasting throughout the day where I forgot that I was even hungry. Like, I lied to y'all not. In the beginning, it was tough. Like, I would start getting hungry, you know, maybe 6-7 hours into it. But when you're doing that for a couple weeks and then a couple weeks turn into a couple months, you're training your body and you're training yourself to deny your flesh. So you forget that you're even hungry at one point. So yeah, I was doing that and I was pretty much being trained up and by the Holy Spirit on how to hear from Yah and distinguishing his voice. So once I was doing that, I realized that I needed to get baptized because I had never gotten baptized. When I was younger, when I was a baby, I got christened. They call it like a christening in the church. And, you know, my parents dedicated me at the church that we were going to when I was younger. But I had never gotten baptized. And I know people be like, oh, well, I got baptized when I was 5 or 6 years old and stuff like that. I personally just have never gotten baptized. So I wanted to get baptized. So I remember I was at Panera and a lady that I was going to the church with, I had caught her up and she met me at Panera and we were just, we had like a Bible study at Panera. And then I started talking about, oh, you know, I've never been baptized before, yada, yada. And she was like, you've never been baptized? I'm like, no, I've never been baptized. I really want to get baptized. So she said, do you want to get baptized today? And I was like, oh, seriously? And she was like, yeah, you want to get baptized today? I'll call the pastor right now. And I was like, oh, snap. Yeah, call him. So y'all, she literally called the pastor. And this was probably like 8 p.m., 8, 9 o'clock at night. She called the pastor and the pastor like got in his car, drove to the church and opened up the church. And we met him at the church. So clearly this wasn't on like a regular day. I actually think this was a Saturday. And to me, it was special because I'm like, oh, snap, it's the Sabbath. I'm going to get baptized on the Sabbath. So we go to the church and, you know, the pastor's talking to me, saying, oh, what makes you want to get baptized and stuff like that. And I'm like, I've never been baptized, yada, yada. So we get to talking and he says, oh, you're going to have to start coming to church on Sundays. Because mind y'all, I wasn't going to church on Sundays. I was going to Bible studies on Wednesdays, but I wasn't turning up on Sundays. And y'all know the reason why. The pastor didn't know the reason why I wasn't going to church on Sundays. And he also didn't realize that prior to me asking him to baptize me, I had already been fasting and honoring the Sabbath months prior to this moment. But he didn't know that. And again, I didn't feel the need to advertise that. So I'm talking to the pastor and he's saying, you know, you're going to have to come to church on Sundays, you know, this, that, and the third. And I told him straight up, I said, oh, well, you know, I honor the Sabbath. So on Saturdays, I kind of like do what I'm told to do in scripture, which is to honor the Sabbath. I didn't say it like that, but I told him, yeah, you know, I honor the Sabbath. And he was like, okay, yeah, but you need to come on Sundays and stuff. And I was like, well, I can't guarantee that because I'm doing stuff on Sundays. Y'all, long story short, tell me why this man said, oh, okay, well, if that's the case, I'm not going to be able to baptize you. And you need to go back and do some more studying in regards to the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is Sunday now. Y'all, the pastor didn't want to baptize me because I could not guarantee Sunday attendance in the church. And it's crazy because the lady who was sitting next to me, who had did the Bible study with, who called the pastor to even come out to baptize me, it was like she was in agreement with the pastor. So it was me against basically her and the pastor. And I literally sat there and I stood 10 toes down and I said, pastor, like, I can't guarantee coming on Sundays. I mean, you know, I already come on Wednesdays, but you know, like, I can't guarantee coming on Sundays. I'm not going to sit here and be dishonest. And he was like, well, you know, you need to do. And the thing is it was weird because he wasn't mean about it, but he was stern. And he was just like, well, you should go back and do some more studying and then come back and see me. And then we can talk about baptism then. And I remember sitting there in the office and it was dead silent. And I started to cry. And even with me crying, this man sat there and was just like, yeah, come back and see me basically when you've done some more studying. I had to go back and do some more studying in order to get baptized. So guess what? We got up. We left. He got in his car. He drove off. The lady said, oh, you know, I'm sorry you weren't able to get baptized. Is that in third? And I got in my car and I drove home and I cried myself to sleep that night. And I never set foot in that church ever again. And I wanted to share that story because that was me when I was like a babe in Christ. That was me when I was a babe in Christ. When I tell y'all, I was super excited to get baptized. I had been wanting to get baptized. And again, months prior to that moment, I had been fasting, praying, honoring the Sabbath, everything. Behind closed doors, nobody knew. And I was super excited to get baptized. And when I had the opportunity to do so, and when the pastor had the opportunity to do so, he denied me getting baptized because I needed to do some more studying. To be honest with you, that should have been like the start of my like villain origin story. That type of stuff was what makes people spaz out and just completely disregard the faith. That type of stuff right there. But for some reason, it was like God had his hand on me. He said, don't give up. Like, I was so desperate to get baptized. And that's when I reached out to the pastor on base. And a part of me kind of reached out to them because I knew that they, you know, they kind of couldn't necessarily deny you. But I reached out to the pastor on base and I wanted to get baptized. And we arranged the baptism. Come to find out, he's a Seventh-day Adventist. So doing it on Saturday was no problem to him. The irony. So I go out on September 8th, 2018, and we go out to a place called Postal Point, which is a beach that's on Eglin Air Force Base. Go out to Postal Point. Go in the water, y'all. This is a legit, what, river, ocean, whatever. We go out into the water. Like, fish is swimming in there. Fish, we got seaweed in there, whatever the case may be. We go out into the water, and the water is, like, up to my waist. So we in the water. Like, we wading in the water. And this man yells at the top of his lungs, can I get everybody's attention? Like, it was a legit, I'm getting baptized in the water. And I got baptized in the water. I got baptized September 8th, 2018, post a point on Eglin Air Force Base. Fresh perm and everything. I just got my hair did, but I didn't care. And I got baptized. And I bring up this story to hopefully encourage somebody out there to not give up. For those of you who listen to my podcast, who have followed me on my social media pages, this was where I started my journey. This is why I carry myself how I do. You know, people are quick to kind of judge you because you have smoke for pastors in higher authority, like leaders in higher authority. And it's not because I'm unruly and want to rebel or anything, but I just carry myself different because I know where I had to start. I know where my journey started. It started with rejection. Not only that, but rejection of getting baptized. We want people to come into the faith, but yet when people who are coming into the faith want to, we reject them. You know, it reminds me of the story in the Bible where, was it the Samaritan woman? It was a woman saying, remember when the Messiah was like, where's that story in the Bible? Hold on, y'all. Let me look up that story in the Bible. Okay, so I found the story in the Bible. It was about a Gentile showing her faith. And I want to read this because this story I can really resonate with. So Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This woman, who she was from Canaan, she was a Gentile. Her daughter was demon possessed. And she was crying out to God. He was in the flesh doing these miracles. And she was crying out to him, "Lord, Lord, like, you know, heal my daughter." And what did the Messiah say to her? I've only been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Because remember, y'all, our Messiah was only sent to Israel at first. He had only come back for Israel. He wasn't coming back for Gentiles. He was coming back from Israel. And guess what happened? A Gentile came up to him and said, "Please, like, I need your help." And he denied her. And guess what? She said, "Please, please, I need your help." And he said, "Lady, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. You know, I'm not supposed to give what I have to basically people who aren't Israel. You know, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And guess what this woman said? "Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table." She was willing to accept the crumbs. She was willing to accept the scraps. And there's another woman in the Bible. I forget where she was from, but I believe she was a Gentile as well. It was when the Messiah, he was in the crowd and she was like, if I can only touch his garment, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, all she felt she needed to do was to touch the hem of his garment and she would be okay. And she would be healed. Both women were that desperate for the Messiah. You notice how his disciples who were walking with him, they were like looking down on her, but she didn't care. I often feel that way in my walk. I felt that way since the beginning of my walk. I have gotten rejected from the leaders of churches, not the members who attend them, from the leaders themselves. And one thing I know about people, if the leaders reject you, then people just follow. And the thing is, I was getting rejected from being baptized. people talk about church hurt, and I don't try to minimize people's experience because a lot of crazy things happen behind closed doors. But I've never heard of somebody getting rejected from being baptized. When it comes to feeling that if I'm even worthy of the Messiah, that's where I guess my hurt and rejection stems from. And it's something that I've worked on over the years. You know, I've forgiven that pastor, but it has stuck with me all these years because getting rejected from being baptized, I didn't even feel worthy of Christ at that moment. I knew the pastor was in the wrong, but I'm not even worthy of being baptized. Like, you admit that you're a sinner before, you know, you get dipped in the water, whatever the case may be. And I was made to feel I wasn't even worthy of. Hold on, y'all. I was made to feel I wasn't even worthy of my sins being washed away. That's how I felt. I was just like the woman who was desperate, willing to accept the crumbs, willing to just touch the hem of his garment. But I pushed forward. And I got baptized anyways. And 7 years ago, I didn't allow it to stop me. I didn't allow it to stop me from receiving what God had for me. So this day is special. I always, you know, take time to reflect on how far I've actually come. I don't really share that. And, you know, sometimes people wonder like, oh, she's so cocky and oh, you know, this, that, and the third and die. But people don't realize that I'm not cocky. I'm confident because I've had to stand 10 toes down on, you know, what I believe in, because my journey, I didn't have people in the church holding my hand and no, like I had to fight for my relationship with Christ. Like that was my story. So yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys. Well, yeah, sorry. But there's other things I wanted to talk about in this episode. And I'm just going to be reading out of my journal. And where do I want to start? Oh, yeah. So moving on, I wanted to reflect on my time in Denver, because I feel like me going to Denver, I had so many revelations that I haven't shared with y'all, but I wanted to talk about. And the thing about Denver was I went out there and it was a time for me to self-reflect. For those of y'all who don't know, I went out to Denver. I was not in Denver long, y'all. I'm not gonna hold you. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you how long I was actually in Denver. I might reveal that on this episode. I don't know. But I wasn't in Denver long at all. But when I was out there, I was able to self-reflect. You know, it was just me. So it was just me and God. And I was able to self-reflect. So I want to read some more what I wrote in my journal. Yahusha has been doing a work on the inside of me, and I've noticed how much wisdom and revelation I received once I got back from Denver. It feels like I became a new person. I think differently, my actions are different, and I know true change comes when you change mentally. I believe Denver was the catalyst to my growth, and it was expedited. I have forgiven and changed my views on certain things. I see things differently. It's like I've been given eyes to see. It feels like I entered a new level in the spirit realm. Perhaps I had to go through Denver in order to get here. I had to fail to learn these lessons. That's my problem. I'm scared to fail because of my perfectionism, because I feel I have to earn love. But Yahusha loves us regardless, so there's freedom in failing because I know he's still going to be there loving me. I had to break the cycle of fear of failure. If I'm scared to fail, then I'm scared to learn. If I'm scared to learn, then I won't grow. If I don't grow, I can't handle the blessing, excuse me, or be prepared for the blessing, essentially sabotaging a good thing, and the cycle continues. And I'm gonna continue reading, but I just wanted to pause there for a quick second. So if you listen to my episode, I think, what was it called? It was called Uncommon Love, where I talk about how there was a sermon called Uncommon Love and how we don't have to earn the love of our Messiah. So one thing about me is that I am a perfectionist. Well, I used to be a perfectionist. I used to be, because I'm growing out of that. And I've always felt I've had to earn love. Like, I always felt I had to be perfect, or I had to have all my ducks in a row before I presented myself to somebody. I don't want to say that, but, you know, I always felt like I had to have it all together before I was with somebody. And I realized something about myself. I'm exposing myself now, that I was attracted to people who I felt like I had to change because it covered up the fact that I needed to self-reflect. I think my perfectionism made me look for people that I had to fix up. But the thing is, you can't fix up people. That's not your job. But yeah, I've always felt I've had to earn love. I've always felt like I wasn't like worthy. So I had to earn love. And me personally, I don't mind working to get something, but that is not how our Messiah works. And we can get in trouble with him if we are trying to perform in order to receive his love. He sees our hearts. So when we're doing something, he knows the intentions behind us doing that something. For example, the commandments. A lot of people, and I'm guilty of this too, so, you know, don't get offended. But a lot of people use the commandments to perform. Like, they're willing to follow the commandments, but it's not because they're doing it because they love Yahusha. They're doing it to prove themselves worthy to him. And I think this is the reason why you have people who they are following the commandments, but then they're not getting certain things in life, and they get angry with God. And it's like, why are you getting angry with him if you're following the commandments? Like, what? The reason why you're getting angry with him is because you think that you following the commandments, you're supposed to get something from him. Because your intention of following the commandments in the first place is because you're trying to earn something from him. Does that make sense? I hope it does. If it doesn't, my bad. But yeah, you know, the thing about our Messiah, the thing about Yahusha is that we don't have to earn his love. He gives it freely, and he gives it to all of us. We don't have to earn that. And when we have love like that, we have freedom to fail. So I want you to think about this. Let me try to break it down. Think about a parent, right? You have a parent who loves you, but only if you perform well. So you perform well, they show you love. If you perform poorly, they don't show you love. So what do you think is going to happen to that child? That child is going to be scared to fail because they know that failing means they don't receive love. They are bound. There is no freedom for that child to fail. And the problem is that child is a human being, which means it's inevitable that they're going to fail. So this is how you get children who they have arrested development, if you will, if you want to call it that, right? Like they're grown adults, but when you interact with them, it's like they're still a child mentally because they've been stagnated in their growth. They're still trying to perform for the love of their parent. This is why you have grown folks who they get around their parents and they just turn into little children because they're trying to gain the approval of their parent. Like they are grown. These people have their own kids, but they're still trying to gain the approval of their parent. And their parent be like 80, 90 years old, and they still trying to gain the approval of their parent. It's because they're bound. It's because their parent showed them love that was conditional. And oftentimes parents show love that's conditional because they were shown love that's conditional. And the beauty about our Messiah is he shows love regardless if we are successful or if we fail at something. And there is freedom in that. There is freedom knowing that regardless of how I perform or how I show up, he's still going to be there loving me. You know, for me personally, I had to break the cycle, like I wrote in my journal, I had to break the cycle of fear of failure. Because when you're scared to fail, you're scared to learn. In order for you to learn in life, you're going to fail. It's going to be trial and error. You're going to fail. You are a human. This game is rigged. You're going to fail. You are a human. It is inevitable. And the thing about failing is it's an opportunity to learn. In order for you to learn, you have to fail. If you never failed at anything, you would never learn, which defeats the purpose of us even being here on earth, because I feel like a part of our experience is to learn lessons, right? But anywho, if you're scared to fail, you're scared to learn. And what happens when you don't learn? You don't grow. You ever met somebody who they keep on doing the same thing and they're never learning from their mistakes? Like they're literally doing the same exact thing. And it's like, are you ever going to learn from your past failures? This is another reason why I am huge on writing in my journal. One, because I love to write. And two, because when I'm writing things down, it slows me down of all the things going on in my head. And two, I'm able to self-reflect. I'm able to go back in time and reflect on my growth. Sometimes I've gone back in my journal and realized, like, Michaela, you're doing the exact same thing. You're talking about the exact same thing that you were journaling this time last year. But if you don't write these things down, you'll forget. This is why I'm very huge on journaling, because these journals are for me and my self-growth. But anywho, yeah, so you're scared to fail, which means you're scared to learn. And if you're scared to learn, then you don't grow. And if you do not grow into the person that Christ is calling you to be, then you are forfeiting the blessings he has for you. And you are not preparing yourself to steward the blessings that he has for you. And this leads to sabotaging a good thing. One thing that people do not consider is they can receive the blessing, but not steward the blessing well and then forfeit the blessing. It's my commander used to say this: preparation plus opportunity equals success. You can prepare, but never have the opportunity to do something. So you're not going to be successful because you never had the opportunity. However, you cannot be prepared for something and have the opportunity and then still be unsuccessful. And that's how I feel about, like, well, me and just people in general. When you don't grow, When you don't grow, you are failing to prepare yourself for the opportunity. So you have the opportunity, but you're not prepared for it. You're not prepared to handle it. So you sabotage. So you forfeit the blessing. Knowing that the Messiah loves you regardless of your mishaps, when you have this belief, you call on him in your moment of failure. He rids you of guilt and shame. And, he died for those burdens. That's what I wrote in my journal. Yeah. So when you have the belief that the Messiah loves you regardless of your mishaps, regardless of your mistakes, he rids you of guilt and shame. You are able to call on him in your moment of failure. Perfect example. Think of a parent. If a parent loves their child regardless, whether they fail or whether they're successful, when that child makes a mistake, that child is willing to call on their parent to help them out in that situation. Why? Because the child knows in the back of their mind, yeah, I made this mistake, but my parent's still going to love me, so I am free to call them because they're going to help me in this situation. Parents who, kind of treat their love for their children conditional, they praise their children for being successful, they withhold praise when their child, fails at something, those children are less likely to call on their parent in their time of need. Why? Because they're scared that if they tell their parent the mistake, the parent is going to withhold that love from them. So they don't call on their parent and they just go through life with the guilt and shame or try to figure it out on their own. They try to figure things out on their own. This is the same thing that we do with Jesus. If we hold the belief that he loves us regardless, when we make a mistake, we feel freedom to call on him to help us in our time of need. And this is where he's able to rid us of our guilt and our shame, and we can give our burdens, our mistakes onto him. We can cast them onto him. So Psalm 55:22 reads, "Cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." So pretty much, we don't have to carry our burdens. We can cast them onto the Lord and he will sustain us. We're never permitted. We're the righteous. We don't have to carry on the burdens. Guilt is a burden. Nobody runs around being happy that they have guilt. What? Shame is a burden. Anxiety is a burden. We can cast those burdens onto our Messiah. So what does this look like? You make a mistake, whatever that is, and you don't want to carry that, you profess out your mouth, "Lord, take this burden away from me. Take this guilt. Take this shame. This is what you died on the cross for. Take this away from me." Like, confess that. Confess that you're giving these burdens to him. And guess what happens after you confess that? Go and sin no more. It's really that simple. I think we make things more complicated because here's the thing. Say like you commit a sin, whatever that may be, right? You commit a sexual sin, right? Yeah, I'm gonna use that as an example because a lot of people, they feel shame after they've committed a sexual sin, and sexual sin is against your own body. So a lot of people feel shame and guilt. Whatever that sexual sin is, you commit that sin. As soon as you're done committing that sin, what do you feel? First, you feel conviction. You feel bad. Now, I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is that you feel conviction. When you feel convicted of something, that means the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. You feel bad. It is a blessing that you feel bad about sin. I know it sounds weird, but the fact that you feel conviction is a blessing, because there are people here on this planet who they can sin and not feel anything because they've seared the Holy Spirit. They seared their conscience. These are the type of people who go around committing crimes and they don't feel no remorse because they don't feel conviction. Conviction makes you feel bad. It makes you stop and think like, hold on, this doesn't make me feel good. So the good news is you feel conviction. The bad news is because you committed that sin, you've opened the door for Satan to wreak havoc in your life. So when you commit the sexual sin, you feel conviction, and two, you've opened the door for Satan to creep in. So since that door is open, now guess what Satan's doing? He's planting seeds. Remember in the Bible, you know, the wheat and the tares, how a farmer came along and he planted tares. That's Satan. Satan walking through that door that you open due to the sin that you committed, and he's planting seeds of guilt. He's planting seeds of shame and anxiety. And if you don't call on God to take care of that for you, to uproot those things, that's the word I'm looking for, to uproot those things, guess what's going to happen? It's going to grow. The guilt and the shame and the anxiety is going to grow, is going to compound. And guess what happens when seeds take root? It produces fruit. And that fruit is action. So now, because you feel shame and guilt, it's showing up in your actions. So what does this look like? It looks like you participating in more sexual sin, or trying to hide it. Or if you're in a relationship, in a marriage, you're trying to hide that sexual sin from your partner. When people feel shame and guilt about something, they typically, they try to hide it. And when they try to hide it, it just compounds more. And then this is how you get people indulging in more explicit sexual sin. Like, it gets really kind of perverted. But it's because they opened the door to that, but they didn't call on the Messiah, and they didn't cast that burden onto him. He is your strength you rely on. People who don't hold the belief that Yahushua loves them regardless will try to will themselves into not falling into sin. But this leads to them falling deeper into their sin. They have allowed guilt and shame to compound. They are trying to earn love or acceptance by not sinning. They are embarrassed by their sin and rather hide from the Messiah instead of confess their sin. Pride, shame, and fear, etc., is keeping them from experiencing the love our Messiah freely gives. They don't call on the Messiah because they believe that he will be angry or upset with them and not love them anymore. They think the Messiah is like their parents, someone that will withdraw love if you mess up. But we have to remember not to put him in the same category as our parents. There is nothing that will keep him from loving us. So going back to sin in general and sexual sin in this example, when people commit sexual sin and they feel convicted, they feel bad, they open a door for Satan to walk right in to sow seeds of guilt and shame. And because people feel guilt and shame, because they have it in their mind that, uh-oh, I made a mistake, I feel guilt and shame on top of that, I don't want to go to God and ask him to carry my burdens because I'm embarrassed. Because if I go to God, then he's not going to love me anymore. That's the mindset with a lot of people. And it's because their parents have taught them that. Their parents, if they went to their parents with their mistake, the parent would look down on them and withhold love from them. But it's unfortunate that we treat our Messiah the same way as we would like our parents in that situation, Or we think that the Messiah treats us the same way that our parents would in that situation. This is what keeps people from calling on God to help them. We have to remember that we can cast our burdens onto Him. When you have sinned or you have committed that sexual sin, literally right after you've done that, get on your knees and pray and cast those burdens onto Him. You're going to feel weird because you're going to feel like, oh man, I just did this. Like, I feel dumb for even trying to ask for forgiveness and this, that, and that. Don't think those thoughts. Do it then and there. Because the longer you wait, the more time you give Satan to plant seeds of guilt and shame. And then guess what happens? You don't want to go to God. Because now you're thinking, oh man, you know, this is like the 10th time I did this and this, that, and third, and that. So now you've done that sin and it's been 24 hours. It's been 48 hours. It's been a whole week now. It's been 2 weeks now before you've asked for forgiveness. And this is how people, they don't ask for forgiveness. They don't cast those burdens onto God. And they try to will themselves into not doing it again. So now you're trying to perform to make up for your mistake. We cannot please our Messiah with our works. You are trying to perform your way into Him loving you. And I would even go as far to say that that's manipulation in a sense. But the thing is that we do not have the power to will ourselves into stopping from sinning. We can't will ourselves to stop sinning. We have to call on Him and cast our burdens onto Him. Failure in this life is inevitable, but when we have Yahusha, we can overcome. Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. This highlights the fact that a righteous man will still fall. You can be a man of God on fire for Him and you will fall. Why? Because you are human. Acknowledge your humanity. When you acknowledge your humanity, you give our Messiah the space to work in your life. People who don't acknowledge their own humanity think that they're a superhuman and they can do it all by themselves. No. Our weakness is His strength. Acknowledge your humanity. Another thing is that it says that a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he rises again. But the wicked shall fall by calamity. You notice how it mentions 2 people, a righteous man and then a wicked one, how both of them fall. But the one walking with the Messiah will get up again, unlike the one without the Messiah. That will be his end. You have Yahusha walking with you. When you fall, you don't have to stay on the ground. You can cast your burdens onto Him, admit your mistakes to Him, let Him carry those burdens, and get back up and sin no more. And keep it pushing. You can keep it pushing. Don't bask in your mistakes. I am notorious for doing that. And the only thing it's done is set me back and cause more anxiety and overthinking. Because the reality is who am I not to forgive myself for my mistakes? Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Again, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. A good man will still fall. Why? Because he's human. But guess what? The Lord will uphold him. Though this good man falls, he won't be utterly cast down. A good man's fall is not his end, which means there's hope, there's redemption, there's restoration. So I just wanted to share with you guys a couple, I guess, nuggets before I wrap up this episode. And it made me think of this, how the love that Yahusha shows us creates an environment for us to be transformed into a new creation, into a new man or a new woman, if you're a woman listening. So the first nugget I guess I want to share is love gives you freedom to fail. Love gives you freedom to learn. Love gives you freedom to grow. And love gives you freedom to receive God's goodness. So I want to go through each one and just share with you guys what I feel like each of them means to me. So love gives you freedom to fail. When you have an environment where love is present and constant, you don't have anxiety and pressure to perform. You don't feel that you have to earn love, so you're free to be human, and that includes doing the inevitable, failing. You don't have guilt and shame taking root in an environment where love resides. I feel like it's so important to show others love because it gives them a freedom to fail. When you love somebody and your love isn't, you know, conditional, like I'm only loving you if you perform well for me, I'm going to withdraw my love if you fail me. When you love somebody, even when they fail and you continue to love them, you create an environment for them to have freedom to fail. And the thing is you create an environment for them to be human because it's inevitable for humans to fail. The next one is love gives you freedom to learn. In order to learn, you have to fail. Learning should take place in an environment where you can ask questions, self-reflect, try new things that may work without feeling judged. You should feel empowered to learn and not feel defeated. So I believe that when you show somebody love, the same love that our Messiah gives us, when you show that person that type of love, you give them freedom to learn. We live in a society now where it feels like you're shunned to learn. How are you going to learn if you don't ask questions? You know, I feel like everybody is always on the defense. So when you do ask questions, people are always looking at you like, oh, well, what's the point of you asking that question? Or what's your intent behind you asking that question? You know, there's no room to ask questions or to self-reflect or to even try new things. You know, does this method work for you? Does this method not work for you? Right. So again, I feel like love gives you freedom to learn. It creates an environment where you're able to learn and feel empowered and not defeated. The next one is love gives you freedom to grow. You shouldn't feel bound or restricted in your environment. There shouldn't be limits placed on you, even when you have outgrown your environment. You should be encouraged to seek a new place that challenges you and nurtures your development in Christ. Sometimes we outgrow our environment. Sometimes we outgrow our position. Sometimes we've learned everything that we've needed to learn to perform well at that job or whatever the case may be. I feel like love gives you freedom to grow. When somebody loves you and they see that it's time for you to grow, they allow you to do so. They don't put limits on you. This is why sometimes you'll have people who you're growing, but then they want to keep you at a certain level. They don't want you to get too big. They want you to get big, but not that big. They want you to stay at a certain level. And it has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with them. You know, they might not want you to outshine them. Basically, these are the kind of people who they're only happy for you as long as you're not doing better than them. And I feel like true love gives you the freedom to grow. You should be in a safe environment where love thrives, where it also challenges you and nurtures your development in Christ. Like, I never want to hinder somebody's growth in Christ. You know, I always want them to feel challenged and to become more holy, to become more like Christ. And last but not least, love gives you freedom to receive God's goodness. You are free to receive all that Yahuwah has for you without the shame of feeling unworthy. When you accept love, you can accept good that comes into your life. You don't feel the need to self-sabotage. One of the biggest things that I have learned, definitely within the last year, is feeling worthy of good. Like when you've gone through so much just nonsense in your life, you start feeling like you're not worthy of good. And when you start feeling like you're not worthy of good, you start rejecting love. Like I realized that I didn't truly understand God's love for me. I had an idea of what it was. I thought I knew what it was. But in the past year, I realized I didn't really know what his love really was. Again, going back to the sermon that I heard, Uncommon Love, that just changed my whole mindset of God's love for me. And I realized, like, when you accept love, when you accept it, you start feeling worthy of good. And I feel like that's no coincidence. People can reject love because they don't feel worthy of it. And when you don't feel worthy of good, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to accept bad, and then your life is just going to spiral. This is how you always end up in bad situations and you self-sabotage. Love can completely restore and transform any individual, but it's a choice you have to make. You can't be forced to accept this love. There will be those that choose not to accept this. This will lead them down the destructive path of continual failure, repeated lessons, stagnation, and rejection of blessings. So the biggest thing, takeaway that I got from this, it's the fact that we have a choice to accept this type of love. Our Messiah died for our sins. So when we make mistakes, when we sin, we don't have to carry that guilt, that shame, that burden. We can cast our burdens onto him. But the thing is that we have to choose to cast our burdens onto him. You can choose to carry your burden and try to will yourself into overcoming that guilt and shame, or you can just give it to him for free. Your choice. I don't know about you, but if he's saying that he'll carry my burden for me, then I'm gonna give it to him and keep it pushing and not wallow in my shame and guilt. No, it's just not even worth it. But it's a choice that we have to make. So yeah, y'all, I think I've said everything that I wanted to say. I hope this message was edifying and you got something out of it. I know it felt like in some parts I was rambling, but it's funny because I'm usually somebody who I write something down, then I sit on it for a few days. But earlier today, I was writing this down and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just go ahead and record this this episode and share it with you guys, you know, because I feel like it's really important. And I hope this helps somebody. And again, just a quick recap. Love gives you freedom to fail. Love gives you freedom to learn. Love gives you freedom to grow. And love gives you freedom to receive God's goodness. So yeah, y'all, I hope this episode was edifying. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time.